Welcome back to another episode of Hard Money Dispatch, the show that demystifies sound money and helps you see the system for what it is. Today's guest is John Gordon. He's the co-founder and COO of Sound HSA and NOS Fabrica. He's passionate about bringing Bitcoin and Noster into healthcare. He's also building the Bitcoin community in Chicago as co-founder of the Chicago Bitcoin Collective and the Fork and Coin Restaurant. John's also a certified yoga teacher and has written on the connection between Bitcoin and yoga. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
Quite an interesting resume and background you have there. Why don't you start off by just giving us a quick summary of all that?
Yeah, sure. I got my start out of college in the healthcare industry doing strategy consulting for hospitals and health systems, worked in payer strategy and in medical supplies. And then when 2020 COVID hit, I was finishing up a master's in health economics and policy and started asking the question, what is money? And looked at my experiences that I'd had in healthcare and realized that healthcare is broken because the money is broken. And I started orienting myself towards bringing Bitcoin-based solutions into the healthcare industry. I worked at CrowdHealth for a while and then started my own consulting business, Satoshi Health Advisors, where I was helping doctors and dentists and other businesses integrate a Bitcoin strategy before coming into and co-founding Sound HSA, the first Bitcoin native health savings account, as well as NOS Fabrica, as you mentioned, that's focused a lot on the Noster side and even started looking at healthcare data on Noster. And now we're focused on building Web of Trust tools for Noster. When I see Freedom Tech, both Bitcoin and the Lightning Network, as well as Noster, enabling us to build freedom-based tools for individuals, businesses, and bringing this very large and wasteful healthcare system we have in the U.S., more than $5 trillion a year in annual spend, right? Almost four times Bitcoin's market cap right now is being spent on healthcare in the U.S. every year for really poor outcomes. And so there's a massive opportunity that I see to bring and really build this new parallel system, right? It's not necessarily, oh, we're going to fix the old system, but it's building and creating relationships and businesses that are built on value for value and sound money, right? And as your show indicates, hard money.
Interesting. Yeah, this podcast is hosted on Fountain, which is a value for value Bitcoin native platform. And it integrates with Noster, interestingly enough. I have a profile created, but the connection has gotten messed up. I've really got to fix that and maybe even get my own personal Noster profile. I still have another. I know it's super easy. It doesn't take long. Just have not done it, but it seems like a great platform for Bitcoin native. So you spent over a decade in healthcare, from hospital strategy consulting to payer business strategy to medical supplies. And you touched on this kind of, but what was the moment when you realized Bitcoin had a role to play in that world? And what made you start helping practices accept it? Walk us through what that was like.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I have kind of diverse experience across the healthcare industry. And everywhere I looked, I saw those centralizing forces in healthcare, right? Bigger and bigger health systems, bigger and bigger health insurance companies. And it was studying and looking at healthcare systems around the world where I saw, okay, if you have a payer of healthcare who's different than the consumer of healthcare, and then you have a provider or a doctor or hospital, you end up with a whole host of issues and market failures in the economy, right? The whole point of insurance is to pool health and financial risk in a population, but it's gotten very big. And ultimately in the U.S., whether that's the government or third-party private health insurance companies are now paying 90% of all healthcare bills. Only 10% is actually out of pocket, but that 10% has grown to over $500 billion a year. And so for me, a lot of it started clicking certainly in 2020 and 2021, as I started getting in more to Austrian economics and looking at Bitcoin and realizing that the market failures were due to not having sound money. Everything is downstream of the money. The incentives, some perverse bonuses that I saw, say, in the insurance space, even in the supply space where we were buying tens of millions of dollars a year of gauze, but priced in yuan, and the dollar started weakening against the yuan in 2020 when we were printing money, and saw, well, I'm not going to be able to hit my bonus if dollar just weakens, that our margins on these products are going to decrease because of that interchange of how we were even buying the physical supplies, and that we didn't have we don't have the manufacturing capability in the U.S. to make a commodity product like cotton gauze. And so it was a lot of those moments along the way. And then certainly just being open to alternative models, right? And crowd health is one of them. It's an alternative to health insurance, this crowdfunding model, more peer-to-peer. And then ultimately, where I saw an opportunity was going to smaller practices, doctors, dentists, particularly direct primary care, because it's a membership-based model where individuals pay maybe $100 a month, and now you have access to a doctor pretty much 24/7 that actually gets to know you, cares for you. And instead of in the legacy system, doctors have 7 minutes to spend on average with you if you're going to get your annual checkup, you know, that's paid for by insurance. And so another huge piece is the transaction fees. 6 to 10% of every transaction that goes through an electronic medical record billing company is taken, right? So there's massive opportunity there just to cut out middlemen in transactions, but there's middlemen everywhere you look across this healthcare industry, to the point that a quarter of the spend of the $5 trillion a year is administrative. Half of that is straight up waste. A lot of fraud, waste, and abuse, as we see billing, when it comes to billing the government for things like hospice or home health or you know, all of the Medicare and Medicaid services out there. There's a lot of bad actors or just fraud that's happening in the industry as well. And so a lot of those pieces together and saying, well, what's going to enable a decentralizing force in healthcare? And it needs to start with the money. And so if you have a transaction now that takes place over the Lightning Network, you're getting instant settlement at the speed of light and drastically reducing that transaction cost, likely to less than 1%. So that's a real savings for small practices where you see more and more doctors being squeezed and either forced to be employed or getting burnt out and leaving the system altogether.
How do you go about explaining to someone who, you know, as many people are today, more or less completely unaware of the fact that the money is broken and have never given this subject much thought, and then, you know, applying it to something as complex and yet familiar as healthcare? Like, that's a tough, just talking about it, it's kind of a tough thing to get your mind around, even when you are familiar with these concepts. And, you know, in my experience, people tend to be pretty resistant. They're either dumbfounded or just resistant to the idea that something in the money is broken. When you try to explain that, they just go right back to some other problem without acknowledging that that's at the root. And it's like, there's this whole matrix of other problems that are all connected to that root. And it's easy to focus on all of the other problems and say, well, no, we need to fix this, this, and that, when really that's like, it's either like whack-a-mole, it'll create another problem, or because it doesn't address the actual root cause, other problems just arise over time. And that's kind of the case with a whole bunch of things across modern society, thanks to fiat money always being debased and constantly printed. So how do you sort of go about explaining this kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I start by reaching out and talking to business owners and individuals that are already operating with a business model that is generally outside of maybe the big insurance paradigm, or such as doctors or dentists or anyone dealing with day-to-day payments and running a business. They see the inflation, right? They see the cost of goods going up, the cost of labor going up. Healthcare inflation in particular outpaces the regular economy, right? Over 250% increase in healthcare prices over the last couple decades. And so anyone that's at least working in this space certainly has a concept, and you'll hear similar themes like, oh, healthcare is broken, it's broken. And to your point, they'll focus on other issues or other areas or point the blame at another part of the industry, right? Whether it's pharmacy benefits managers or the insurers or the big health systems, whoever it is. Ultimately, everyone is sort of in cahoots for prices to go up, squeezing out the individual, right? So anyone that really, and for individuals that want to take control of their own health and wealth, there are vehicles and tools to be able to do that. And so when I was doing consulting, I would start just with the what is money, and put together some slides and just sharing, here are the 7 properties of money, going, you know, basing a lot of that on 7th property, Eric Yates, Layered Money, Nick Bhatia, right? There's great resources in the space to build kind of the case and take a step back and understand the question, what is money? Here are the ways we can introduce it into your practice. And then being practical and saying, okay, if you want to start accepting payments, we can do that on the next session, and I'll get you set up with Zaprite. You can have a blue wallet. Here's your XPub. Right now you can accept Bitcoin payments. And if you want to automate things further, there's such great tools in the industry to do that. So for me, it was mostly finding those pockets or business owners, and worked with an architect who was bringing Bitcoin in architecture and really thoughtful, Liquid Vitamins Company, e-bike shop. Like, there are different businesses, but everyone ultimately is facing a lot of the same problems, which is rooted in the money being broken and being debased without your permission. And so when you introduce this concept of Bitcoin, of a fixed supply of 21 million Bitcoin that will ever exist, yeah, it might take an hour to go through and just the high level of here's the role of the nodes and here's the role of the miners, here's how you can hold your private keys. But in reality, it's actually way less complicated to explain than the current fiat system built on the Federal Reserve. So it does take a little bit of time, but I was able to sort of synthesize a lot of my readings and learnings in the space to kind of bring it to a business owner in a digestible way. And now bringing it to more on the consumer side through Sound HSA and other vehicles for people to understand why it's important to save in Sound Money, to save in Bitcoin as a long-term storage of your capital. Because we're all human. We all have healthcare needs, whether ourselves or you've experienced it for another loved one in your family. And so for me, at least on the healthcare side, you mentioned, you know, that the industry itself, yes, it presents it as complex. But at the end of the day, it should be rooted in the individual and understanding first of your own body, your own needs. But we're all human, right? So it's inevitable. And that's why I've enjoyed working at this intersection, because it's not going away, right? Healthcare is always going to be there. Hopefully it'll be in a somewhat different form and scaled down to its appropriate size, and more empowering individuals to take responsibility for their health.
Nice. So it sounds like you start with someone who's less likely to put up walls and be resistant to the idea in the first place, clearly explain the basics and how it could benefit them and their enterprise and their customers, and then just move forward with implementation. That's
exactly.
Okay. So moving on, for doctors and dentists who are skeptical or just unfamiliar, what does accepting Bitcoin for payment actually look like on a day-to-day basis? How complicated is the setup, and what's the typical reaction once they start doing it?
Yeah, the setup, again, as I mentioned, maybe takes an hour. I can get you set up. And it depends on your tools, right? Zaprite is, as I mentioned, a great tool for accepting payments. Strike is also on the back end there, or just accepting payments via Bitcoin and Lightning directly. So it can be as simple or sort of intricate as you want the setup to be. The challenge often for business owners is they're using another system for membership and billing. You don't want to have to maintain two. So some of what I'm pushing for is some of the bigger tools in the healthcare space where we can even turn on Bitcoin payments for anyone, similarly to how Square has done that for businesses. And so depending on your business model, if you're doing invoices or payment, you need POS or payment links, there's really great tools and wallets out there, right? Zeus is another great tool. And so it just depends on kind of your size and what your business looks like. Are you taking payments in person, online, regularly, even building up that process and ultimately educating other staff that's on the team, making it easy for them? And at this point, maybe it is one extra step, but what you can do is offer a discount. Maybe you offer 10% discount for someone to pay in Bitcoin. That's what will light up the customer and consumer and say, oh, what is this Bitcoin thing? Maybe it's worth me getting some just to get the discount for this good or service. So it starts with those interactions, right? We're 17 years into Bitcoin. It's still really, really early. And folks need a bit of a nudge or an incentive to want to use something. And the merchant certainly has a strong incentive to want to accept Bitcoin. And I think that's where adoption needs to start, and then encourage their customer and incentivize them to either get Bitcoin or pay them in Bitcoin, because they're, again, going to reduce the transaction fee that hits their bottom line and now build up a treasury reserve asset that enables them to operate into the future, and then ultimately market to a Bitcoin consumer. I think it's a flag post now. If you're accepting Bitcoin for whatever product or service you're offering, it shows to me as a consumer that you're offering a higher quality good. You've actually thought about this. You decided to accept Bitcoin for a reason. And that advantage, first mover advantage, maybe won't always exist, because I believe everyone and all businesses will have to accept Bitcoin at some point. But at this point, where especially in the US, where it might not feel like a need, but more of a want, kind of that taking that step now rather than when you need it is the time to do it, right? Because it does take a little bit of time and understanding and confidence to integrate. But once you're implemented, you know, there's Shopify plugins, you can accept Lightning via Strike, right? There's so many tools, depending on where are you accepting payments. There's probably a plugin and a way to do it. Lightning is this protocol that is global, right? And built on the roots of of Bitcoin in our time chain, 950,000 blocks, right, and counting that we've had. So
how does it work on both ends? Do you ever have your customers set up a Lightning node? Is that not necessary? Because I'm trying to think, like, if both people, you know, consumer and business, have something like Strike, or even Coinbase supports Lightning now. If both people have an account with something like that, then it's pretty simple. No one really needs their own node. But what happens when, you know, both people don't have something like that? Or I'm just curious, like, what the setup like specifically looks like in practice. What's the most common and user-friendly way to make this kind of thing happen right now?
Yeah, it's a great question. I always present the options and show you could always run your own node, absolutely. And there are tools, companies like Voltage make it really easy to run your own node. LB Hub is another great example where you can pretty easily run your own node. You then do have to deal with the liquidity, or you need inbound liquidity to accept payments, and then you need to have outbound liquidity to pay. You could run BTC Pay Server, right? And that's free, but you have to host it on the server. So there's all these trade-offs in the setup. So depending on the business owner's appetite and the percent, you know, payments they expect, for them, it might not be worth it in the short term. And they would rather have a service like a Strike or then a River just to be there to accept Bitcoin. You need something around it, though, and that's where I usually recommend Zaprite. Right, for payments, Flash is another tool. Right, so there's a whole host of tools. Castle is another one now to DCA into your treasury and convert fiat payments into Bitcoin. So there's a lot of tools that can plug in for your business needs. But I would say from the consumer standpoint, you get to decide, right, what wallet you use. Do you want to use Cash App? Do you want to use Strike? Do you want to use something that is self-hosted on your own, right? There's privacy trade-offs. And then ultimately, there's tools like what we've integrated on the Sound HSA side with the Breeze SDK, where individuals get a non-custodial Lightning wallet in their app that we offer when we do move to earn, sats for steps. And you can use those sats to spend over the Lightning network as well. And so there's a lot of choice when it comes to Bitcoin, but generally as individuals get set up with one of the exchanges, or ultimately maybe they want to run their own node or have their own on-chain wallet, there's options. And so you're not locked in necessarily to one vendor on either side, but there's certainly tools that make it really easy for business owners to get set up, and then also consumers to pay you in Bitcoin. There's eCash as well now that's coming for gift cards, and other examples that I think we'll be featuring here at Fork and Coin, our restaurant in Chicago, where we're using the Square terminal, right? Square turned on Bitcoin payments for 4 million merchants. If you're using Square and you're a small business, boom, you know, there's nothing to even do. You don't need me. You don't need a consultant. Like, you just go in and click two buttons and turn on Bitcoin payments, and boom, people can pay you in Bitcoin. Let the consumer then make it happen. So yeah, again, the infrastructure is even so much further along than when I started doing this 3, 4, or 5 years ago, that at this point, it's more of it would have to be a mental hurdle or to say, and or not giving it the time. Because if you think through it, you should want sound money if you're a business owner.
That's right. The infrastructure has come a long way in a short time. Adoption seems to be on kind of an exponential curve. You know, I've been in the space a long time, and I'm sort of still, I guess I just haven't quite kept up with all of that, because I still think of, well, Lightning in particular, I'm not as well versed in Lightning as I probably should be. And I forget that there's so many simpler ways to use it now, so many third party apps that support it, because in my mind, I'm still used to Lightning being like this niche fringe concept where there's not that many channels and it's hard to use, and you might have liquidity problems, like you said, and there's still bugs. And I think when I saw Jeff Booth's, or a clip of Jeff Booth's speech at the Bitcoin conference, and he was mentioning how something like half of the Lightning payments in the first 6 months or year that it launched actually failed. And I'm still like caught up in that mindset, because that's when I think of Lightning, I just remember it back then. And there was a time, you know, there was a gap sort of where Lightning was still in the experimental phase and it was still being developed and tested. And we're basically past all of that now. Like, it's very usable and integrated into all these things. Square, that's a recent development, and enabling so many merchants to use Bitcoin. I mean, a lot of them have Square. It's very common. So that right there is a huge a huge step forward in adoption. So yeah, thanks for, you know, you're updating me on these things that I haven't even kept up on. So let's move forward and talk about Sound HSA. Most people don't even fully understand how a traditional HSA works, let alone one that holds real Bitcoin. Can you talk us through what this is and why the triple tax advantage matters so much?
Yeah, absolutely. So the health savings account was stood up in 2003, and it is a retirement account that is the only one that is triple tax advantaged in the U.S. tax code. But unlike an IRA, you can use it in the present for health and medical goods. So how it works is when you contribute to a health savings account, employers can either contribute pre-tax to your account, 60% of HSAs are garnered through employers, or you can contribute yourself tax deductible on your next tax year, so as a write-off. All the gains for that, anything you hold in your HSA, grow tax-free, and there's no taxes when you withdraw for eligible health and medical goods. So that's the triple tax right there. The main stipulation still today for HSAs is that you do need to have a high deductible health plan. What that means is your deductible for an individual needs to be more than $1,700 a year, or for a family, $3,400 a year. And that's actually, in the world of health plans, actually still pretty low, but they call that high deductible, right? So more people are really eligible for this. There's 40 million accounts in the US holding over $170 billion in value, more than half of that sitting in cash dollars. It's not even being invested, right? Some HSA companies enable you to invest in stocks or mutual funds or have a brokerage account, right? And there's some big players, Fidelity, Health Equity, HSA Bank, others, right, that have been on the market for a long time. We're the first company at Sound HSA to offer real Bitcoin within the HSA. So how it works is you have to contribute in fiat. That's very clear from the IRS. And then you can buy Bitcoin within the account. And now the Bitcoin is held in a multi-institutional, multi-signature vault. So we partnered first with Horizon Trust, which, because we ourselves are not a trust company, right? We built the tech and enabling the product both on the web and mobile. But we partnered with Horizon Trust out of New Mexico, and now Gannett Trust to be our HSA administrator. Gannett Trust out of Wyoming, which is the first Bitcoin native trust company, and Unchained Capital out of Austin, Texas. Really, our differentiator is that this is real Bitcoin, right? This is not a proxy. It's not an ETF. People have been investing in their HSAs. And as we've been talking to people and gaining customers and signing up, maybe they're holding an ETF or a proxy somewhere else. The cool thing about the HSA, as I mentioned on the spending side, is we can enable distribution in kind in Bitcoin, which is something we're moving towards. And then really one of the big hacks of the HSA is you can spend on medical care now. If you pay out of pocket, say with a credit card, you can save that receipt, and we have a place for you to do that on our platform. You can reimburse yourself at any point in the future for that expense. So say you paid $800 for contacts and eye exam this year, like I did, pay out with a credit card, save the receipt, and now while I hold that value in Bitcoin in the HSA, instead of paying 1 million sats now, maybe that's only 100,000 sats, right, in 10 years. But it's based on the USD value of the expense at the time it was incurred. So there's a lot of things about the HSA that are flexible, and it's an instrument you bring beyond your employer relationship as well. It turns into a traditional IRA at age 65, so you could spend it on anything else. Yeah, so I'll pause there, you know, here if you have questions more on either the HSA structure or how we've set it up here at Sound. But we're really excited to launch the first Bitcoin native health savings account.
No, that's fascinating. So you mentioned it's real Bitcoin. It's not some kind of proxy or derivatives. So it's held in a sort of multi-institutional, multi-sig type of thing, or mm-hmm. How does that work?
Yeah. So Gannett Trust, Horizon Trust, and Unchained all hold a key in the arrangement to the Bitcoin. So at some point, we could also enable individuals to hold their own keys, or at least one key in the arrangement, similar to how Unchained offers collaborative custody with their IRA products, right? And so HSA balances tend to be a little bit lower, but as they grow and as Bitcoin grows, could certainly warrant, you know, having your own vault, basically. Yeah, it's a really interesting tool. And for folks that, you know, have families or growing families or just individuals, right? As I said, we're all human. We're all going to have some healthcare needs. So even stacking a few sats now, there are contribution limits. That's kind of the other stipulation for HSAs. So individuals this year in 2026 can contribute up to $4,400. and families can contribute up to $8,750 this year, right? So tax deductible. And then as you put it in, you can put it in whatever you want, right? And that's where our Bitcoiners and people we're talking to, and I'm sure your listeners that already understand hard money and the value of holding Bitcoin, here's the only way to hold triple tax advantaged Bitcoin, right? For your health. But even today, you can spend it on things like beef or a sauna or cold plunge, right? Some of these more wellness preventative goods and services, you might need a letter of medical necessity for that from a doctor. But as we know, there are many ways to health. And so there's, again, it's not just a doctor's office. One of the big ways we see this playing out, and I spoke earlier about direct primary care, where you have this membership base. Starting now with the Big Beautiful Bill in 2026, you can spend your HSA directly on direct primary care, on DPC. So I think we can build this circular loop for a circular economy in Bitcoin and healthcare, where individuals are saving in Bitcoin in their HSA, spending via Lightning Network directly with DPC docs, and none of those transactions are taxable events, and the transaction fees are extremely low, right, based on the Lightning Network. And so it's a win for the individual, it's a win for the doctor, and ultimately that's in developing more sovereign health, sovereign healthy individuals who are taking care of their health, being more proactive, and then ultimately having that value to spend on whatever you deem will make the most impact for your health.
Nice. Yeah, I love the sauna, cryotherapy, vitamin shots. I go to a sort of alternative wellness place here in the Salt Lake all the time. So if I could spend HSA on that, I'd be all about it. But I'm curious, for the back end, what does it look like now? It's easy to imagine you have an HSA, say a brokerage account with Fidelity. You can select different securities and invest some of the cash in those. How does someone go about buying non-custodial Bitcoin? Or I guess it is custodial, but buying actual Bitcoin rather, instead of selecting like an ETF ticker. Do you have a button that says like, hey, buy on River, or how does that work?
Yeah, we have a button within our platform that says buy Bitcoin. So once you deposit funds in, you can buy Bitcoin. And so that trade is executed. There's a 1% trade fee within the account. And we have a $300 annual admin fee, which is pretty in line with other self-directed instruments. But that whole experience of buying Bitcoin all happens within the HSA. And then after a few days, you'll see the trade settle and the amount of sats hit your account, and boom, you have the Bitcoin right there. So it's all on our dashboard. You can check it out, soundhsa.com, and sign up for an account. So we're open for individuals, and then employers that we're talking to, particularly Bitcoin companies, right, or miners or others that want to offer a benefit. The HSA is something where an employer can pair an HSA or multiple HSAs with a high deductible health plan and contribute pre-tax to their employees' HSA.
Nice. Okay. Moving on, tell me more about Move to Earn. You're helping companies offer a wellness program that pays out sats for steps. How does that work, and what kind of response have you seen from employees and employers so far?
Yeah, Move to Earn was a product we launched last year, actually in Vegas, where individuals can log in with Noster, and now you can have a Lightning address, a Lightning wallet, non-custodial within the account. And we do certain step challenges that we've done globally. For example, we would offer 10,000 sats if you hit 50,000 steps for the week. And for us, it's kind of getting the word out, showing what's possible at this intersection of sound money and sound health. We don't need to know who you are. All we need to know is, hey, did you hit the step target? And what's your Lightning address? And here's your sats, right? And so that's pretty novel with the technology that we have in Bitcoin and Noster. And so we do have companies, and we've had a doctor in Houston actually who's been offering 10,000 sats a week to his 60 clinicians. For the last half a year. And it's been a great way to educate on Bitcoin and get staff up to date on what's happening and get them moving, right? So wellness, corporate wellness incentives are not necessarily new, right? Just like the HSA isn't new, but we're Bitcoinizing both of these experiences so that inherently you have this educational component for people who are saying, what are sats and what's Lightning and what's Bitcoin, right? And we need to start somewhere. And we think that a lot of folks will earn their first sats rather than necessarily buying them on exchange or even selling a good or service for it. But maybe through physical activity, you can earn your first sats. And now that's your entry point to going down the Bitcoin rabbit hole.
Wow, I'm missing out. I need to get in on that. I could have earned quite a few sats for all my steps by now. So you're also building Nos Fabrica, which ties into Noster. Tell us what that is and how it works. But first, for listeners who are unfamiliar with Noster, can you give a brief explanation of what Noster is and why you think it matters for healthcare?
Absolutely. So Noster stands for Notes and Other Stuff Transmitted by Relay. And it's similar to Bitcoin. It's an open protocol software that was put out in the world about 4 or 5 years ago. So newer than Bitcoin. But what it does is it takes that public-private key cryptography that we have in Bitcoin. That's how you sign transactions, prove to the rest of the network that's your Bitcoin. In Noster, you're signing events, and you can prove to the rest of the network that that's your identity. And so when you post to Noster, or when you follow people on Noster, all of these things happening on different apps or clients, right? It's not one, Noster is not a company, it's not one app, but it's a protocol. And the data is saved on these various relays. You can run your own relay. It's just a simple server having a certain spec within the software. And things can, you're signing events. So that's a cryptographic proof, right? As you're putting anything out into the world or privately. And so what we're doing at Nos Fabrica is building on a concept of what's called Web of Trust. So based on your follows, mutes, and reports all the way across the network for the hundreds of thousands of accounts and now millions of accounts that exist on Noster, you can develop a score, and we're calling a brainstorm, and also search for other individuals. And from your own personal perspective, you can get a sense of, is this person or even bot legit or not? Right? How do you know in a decentralized way if someone is who they say they are? Well, you can do that based on similar to how we do it in the real world, right? You build trust, you build your reputation. You can build a reputation on Noster without needing a central authority, without needing X's blue check, without needing LinkedIn. And now the value of Noster is you can bring your followers, you can bring your content to different platforms without having to start all over, right? And so as you mentioned with Fountain, has Noster integrated? There's value for value. You can earn sats directly for your content. And so we're building a lot of that infrastructure layer right now on Nos Fabrica. We just had a hackathon with 16 different projects competing. We dished out over 50 million sats to 4 different projects that won the hackathon. But there are many great, really great builders in the space focused on Web of Trust, because now that we've had a few years of Noster experience, it's kind of like, you know, can we take this to the next level? And then I think it ties into healthcare significantly, because 10 years ago and for many years, we said, oh, there's blockchain for healthcare, right? And all this hype. But really, you don't want to have your data on an open blockchain that anybody can see. You want to have your money there because you need to have validation and not have a central authority to issue the money. But you can use a private relay and encrypt your health data to our relay or your relay of choice and only share that with who you want it to be shared with. So that's what we're doing at Sound HSA now, is we can save your step data to Noster that's saved to our relay, but we only see it if, say, you want to earn some sats. Like, it's encrypted to your private key, right? So it's really a much more private way, potentially, of doing healthcare data. That's where, you know, I'm building at this intersection of Bitcoin and Lightning and Noster for healthcare, because there are all these issues and challenges where 1 in 3 Americans' healthcare data was hacked last year. It's sold off without your consent constantly, right? It's held in all these different databases. You don't even know where it is. And so there are freedom tech-based tools that really great developers are working on, and what we're focused on building and making the user experience really easy. And so you mentioned earlier you don't have a Noster account, or maybe you haven't logged in a while. You can create one even in our Sound HSA app. Say create an account. Boom. Now you have a public-private key pair. Take your private key, NSEC. You can log in to apps like Primal or Amethyst and see the social experience. And then if you want more of a filtered, curated experience on Noster, that's where Nos Fabrica and Brainstorm is going to play a role.
Really cool stuff. Yeah, I just looked it up, and Umbral does have an app for running a Noster relay. So if anyone has an Umbral home server running a node or anything else, you can also easily run a Noster relay right there on the same hardware. So let's switch gears a little bit. You co-founded the Chicago Bitcoin Collective and Fork and Coin Restaurant, as you mentioned. What's the Bitcoin community like in Chicago right now? And what does it take to build local infrastructure like that from the ground up?
Yeah, it's been super fun. I've been traveling with my wife and daughter for a while after living in Austin, Texas, but I grew up in the north suburbs of Chicago and went to Northwestern, spent a lot of years living and working healthcare jobs out of the city, and was always kind of looking then from afar and being like, where are the Bitcoiners in Chicago, right? This is a big city, and has a historic footprint in financial markets, in commodity trading, and so on. And so I knew there would be Bitcoiners here. And as I was coming back, organized a couple events over the last couple of years, hosted Nick Bhatia, Joe Carlosari, other Chicago Bitcoiners getting together for barbecues, coffee meetups. And so it just came together pretty organically over the last 6 months. So we have five other partners here with Fork and Coin and Chicago Bitcoin Collective, and we have over 35 members joining us. And I'm sitting here in our upstairs. We have kind of a hacker space in co-working in Portage Park, a place to host events, bit devs, other builder meetups. And then downstairs, we're opening a full service restaurant called Fork and Coin. And so we're getting a lot of excitement in Portage Park, which is a neighborhood here on the north side of Chicago, kind of in between O'Hare, the airport, and downtown. And so, yeah, the reception's been great. We've only been in the space about 3 months and have made a lot of progress. Our chef, Foisey, is super talented. He's going to be cooking up some really great new American, kind of Asian twist food, no seed oils. You know, we put in a deposit for half a cow in Bitcoin from a local rancher, right? So we're going to be really featuring a lot of vendors and merchants that offer high quality foods and other services for Bitcoin. And I think being a hub here is going to really go a long way in showing and demonstrating from an experiential perspective everything, you know, that we're talking about here with Bitcoin. And yeah, so it's an awesome community. Really grateful for everyone who's gotten involved and continued to keep things going over the last few years. But I think we have a lot of energy and excitement, I think, to really build a strong Bitcoin community in Chicago.
Nice. Yeah. For those who don't know, the CME futures market stands for Chicago Mercantile Exchange. It's the birthplace of futures trading. So it does make sense. There would be a rich history of financial markets there. And yeah, it sounds like you're in the right place for this. So starting to wrap up here, if a physician or small practice owner is listening to this and they're thinking about integrating Bitcoin into their business, whether that's accepting it, saving it in it, or offering it as part of a benefits package, where should they begin? And what's the first conversation they need to have?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always happy to have a conversation, point you in the right direction. There's really great Bitcoin resources out there and companies doing great work in the space. And so I think the first question is, you know, what problem or challenge are you trying to solve for in your business? Is it that, you know, you're trying to strengthen your treasury? Is it that you're trying to attract a different customer or clientele? Is it that you're trying to reduce transaction fees, increase margins, right? These business questions you might have of ultimately trying to improve your business, there is a tool there in I believe a role for Bitcoin, right? And so whether it's something like Zaprite or just choosing Square instead of Toast or whatever it's going to be for payments, and then saving in Bitcoin, marketing to Bitcoiners, there's reward platforms like Oshi, you know, so it's, yeah, I think a starting point is just asking a question, you know, what are you trying to improve in your business? And then you should know there's definitely a way to integrate Bitcoin here and reach more consumers. And so it's a matter of having a conversation. There's really great, also nod to one of our members, Brandon at Sovereign. They're an awesome Bitcoin consulting company that's helping folks set up nodes and integrate Bitcoin in a whole host of ways. So as I pivoted more to standing up more product-based companies, there's really great, you know, there's other Bitcoin consultants, just like there's been technology consultants for years to help you do this. And so it's really not, I don't think it's that hard, but it does take the decision and the desire. And you look at a company like Steak and Shake that's done amazing things by accepting Bitcoin payments and now paying Bitcoin benefit, you know, via Fold. And and now even moving to grass-fed beef. Like, it's really like there's this tie, right? You start going down Bitcoin rabbit hole and you're starting to make other decisions for your health and then for the health of your customers, ultimately, to build more of a free market economy. So yeah, that's how I'd answer those, you know, those couple questions. But it's an evolving space, as you know, and so just staying up and finding your local meetup, find those champions in your community, whether you're in Denver or SF or Austin or New York, DC, you know, or smaller towns, Michigan, Wisconsin, there are Bitcoin meetups everywhere. And so finding those local Bitcoiners can go a long way towards getting your Bitcoin strategy off the ground.
Fascinating. Yeah. I wish there was a good one here in Salt Lake City, but I've only seen crypto and altcoin ones more broadly that I'm not interested in personally.
Maybe it's an opportunity to start one.
That's what I was going to say.
We can have another chat offline about that, because I'm sure there are Bitcoiners there. You know, look out on Club Orange or send a post out on Noster. Like, I'm sure there are Bitcoiners in Salt Lake. I'm going to speak out in Portland at Bitcoin is for Everyone. It's not too far from you. I don't know if you're able to make it to that next weekend. Yeah, it's not maybe an opportunity for you in Salt Lake. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Yeah, John, how do people get in touch with you and learn more about Sound HSA?
Yeah, feel free to reach out, John at soundhsa.com. You can check out our website, sign up, open an account. I'm on X and Oster at the Bitcoin Yogi. Always happy to have a chat and conversation if you're trying to get in to and work in this intersection or take care of your health, whatever it is with Bitcoin and Oster. Always happy to chat. Or maybe for Brian starting up a new Bitcoin community in Salt Lake City, what does it take to, you know, I think it's really finding the right people too, right? Not doing it alone. The beauty of Bitcoin is you have this network that everyone benefits when more people participate and put their energy and value towards growing the network and growing Bitcoin. And so ultimately, I believe that's the direction we're heading. And the sooner you realize it, I think the more upside you have. But ultimately, it's creating more prosperity and freedom for everyone around you.
Excellent. I like it. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of Hard Money Dispatch. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'd like to thank today's guest, John Gordon from Sound HSA, for being here. Be sure to like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, and subscribe to the Hard Money Dispatch newsletter. There'll be a link in the description. There'll also be links for how you can get in touch with John and learn more about Sound HSA. And don't forget to leave a 5-star review on your favorite audio listening platform. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks, Brian.